We are in Psalm 9, verse 6, but I want you to jump to verse 17. The title of my message is The Nations That Forget God. And I really never saw this until just a little while ago, why I need to comment on it now. It's the nations that forget God. I have a book, and I meant to get it, One Book, One Authority, and in there I have three chapters on the Chinese. And in those three chapters, it shows that in the Chinese language, a language that is probably 5,500 years old, it has the story of Adam and Eve in the garden and the lamb that, you know, slain from the foundation of the world. It has those in the symbols. You break them down, and maybe I'll do it someday here, but you break them down in their component parts. When the Chinese see those symbols, they just see the symbol and know the word. They don't break it down into parts, but those that created the language would have a part for, you know, like garden would have these three or four or five different components to it. And I was telling a guy working over at the house, I gave him a copy of the book last week when he worked for me. We went out to lunch. I gave him a copy and I showed him garden. And garden is a mouth and dust, two people, and one person coming out of the side of the other one. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and Eve came from the rib of Adam. And that's just garden. And you think about that, it's not by coincidence. In fact, the Chinese, when you tell them that, they are astounded that their ancestry believed in God, and it was not an atheist country as they've been taught. Now, you have to understand this too. In China, that written language is being replaced by the simplified version. And in the simplified version, they are corrupting those truths because they've seen so many of their young people turn to Christ. And the way that it's done is when they ask you a question about, you know, why are you a Christian, you can talk to them. And you can tell them about Christianity. But you can't start with Jesus. You have to start with, here's the Bible. Here's your language. Here's how your language relates to the Bible. And then all of a sudden their eyes open up and they're ready to understand who the Savior is and how He died on the cross, how He shed His blood. But the point I want to make after all that is verse 17 says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God." That tells you, you had Adam and Eve, right? And everybody came from Adam and Eve, and Adam, you know, lived over 900 years. Then you had Noah, and they overlap, and then you have Noah living through the flood, and therefore Noah knew the story of creation, and Moses is the one that wrote down the five books, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. Moses wrote those down, but he wasn't there for the whole thing. The point being this, when the flood happened, eight people came off that flood. When they came off, the first thing they did was build an altar. They sacrificed on an altar to the Almighty God. Everybody on earth believed in God. Everybody on earth knew the story of Adam and Eve and knew the truth and knew about the Garden of Eden, knew about sin, knew about the blood sacrifice that had to be shed by animals to have fellowship with God at that time. Everybody on earth believed that. Everybody on earth knew that. And if you study the ancient civilizations, all of them have a story about a flood. When you look at the Chinese language, 5,500 years old, not only do you have a witness of God, but you have a witness of the creation and the Creator and Adam and Eve and the garden and all of that. What's the verse say? All the nations that forget God. So you look at Russia. Was Russia always an atheistic nation? No. Was China always an atheistic nation? No, I can prove that one to you. Over 1.2 billion people And they say, we're atheistic. We don't believe in God. We never believed in God. No, that's not true. You're lying to your people because you did believe in God. How about the United States? We came from Britain, Great Britain. Over here, founded upon Christian principles, what have we done? We have forgotten God. You know what the murder capital of the world is? It's Washington, D.C. More deaths per capita by murder than any other city in the world. Why do you think that is? Well, when you forget God, you'll be turned into hell. Why is that? Well, because what they've said is, listen, if you want to get money from the government, you can go have babies. We'll give you more money for every baby, but there's only one stipulation, or there's many, but one particular one I want to hone in on. You can't have a father in the house. If you're married to him, you can't get as much money as if you were single. Therefore, they create the problem to become the solution when there is no solution. And that's what this country has done. What have they done? They've forgotten God. Some people say, well, the Constitution is godless because it doesn't mention God. You know what it ends with in the last amendment? It says, in the year of our Lord. And it gives the year. What does that mean? It's recognizing Jesus Christ. And you know, the first thing they did was prayer and fasting after they signed that Constitution. We had this little battle down at City Hall, and you know, the thing was separation of church and state, and I just said it was inflammatory. I told you that. But the point is, when you see what Thomas Jefferson wrote, he was trying to stop a national religion like the Anglicans over in England, and every colony here in the States actually had a state religion. Episcopalians, they controlled it. Presbyterians, you know who they jailed? They jailed the Baptists. You know why they jailed the Baptists? Because the Baptists refused to get a license to preach the gospel. So they jailed them. The only one of the 13 colonies that did not require a license was the colony that was founded by the Baptists, and that was Rhode Island. Rhode Island was founded by the Baptists, and they did not require that. They did not have a state religion. Because of that, when the Constitution was being ratified, they believed that that is what was the problem in Great Britain, was the state religion. The king is not only sovereign over you in your life, but he's sovereign over you in religion. And that's always dangerous. It's always dangerous to have that consolidated power. I mean, just look at what we got now with what we call executive orders. Now, it started in the last administration, the one before that. Now, this one's like on steroids. I don't even know what I'm signing. You know, let me just get rid of a million jobs here and sign this. Yeah, I mean, listen, it isn't the first time it's happened. It's just on steroids, and that's what it is. It's dangerous because we have one branch of our government that is running this country, just like the judicial branch was out of control. Now the executive branch is completely out of control, and the legislative branch is a joke. We're supposed to have three branches of government, and each one is to keep the other in check. What happens when they're all run by the same group? Yeah, we got what we got right now. There are no checks and balances anymore. So that's where we are. The thing I want you to get from all of that is it says the nations that forget God. Every nation ever created on earth knew about God. That's why the Bible reads the way it reads. Now let's go back to verse 6. I just had to sort of get that off my chest before I forgot it because it came to mind. Psalm 9 verse 6, O thou enemy. So the recipient of this declaration is, and the identity is, the enemy. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorial is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. And he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. So when you look at the accomplishments of this judgment is that the cities are destroyed, the memorials are perished. The news is that destructions are come to a perpetual end. Perpetual means without end. And it says perpetual end, therefore the end will be without end. You see what I'm saying? In other words, it doesn't say it's going to come to an end. It says a perpetual end, which means it's always continuing. The end of the Christian's earthly existence is perpetual life or perpetual existence. Now, nobody is going to be put out of existence. A soul is eternal. It just depends on whether you have eternal life or eternal death. Those that accept Christ have eternal life. Those that reject Him are eternally damned, and they have no hope forever. You think about the memorials. We construct memorials to honor and memorialize mere mortals and push God away from our memories or out of our memories. Jesus Christ needs no man-made memorial, yet He remains in remembrance by millions and maybe a billion people. He died 2,000 years ago. Who doesn't know that? I'm not saying who doesn't believe that. I'm saying who doesn't know that? You know what 2021 represents? The year that He was born. They say B.C. and A.D. A.D. is Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. B.C. is before Christ. Wow. But you know what they've done? Because they want to forget God. They say B.C.E. before the common era instead of before Christ. Yeah. That's why you'll never see me write BCE. It is a way for people to reject the reality of history. People say follow the science, follow the history too. The reason that people are condemned to repeat history is because they don't know history. The reason that you had World War II is because people forgot World War I. The reason you have the Vietnam War and the Afghanistan War and everything else is because people forget all the others that went into Afghanistan and the nightmare and the quagmire that it became. They forget that. There's just something about that name Jesus. The promise of the declaration, the endurance of the Lord there in verse 7. The preparation for judgment. This seems almost prophetic there in verses 7 through 9. He shall judge the world in righteousness, verse 7. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness, verse 8. Yet He will be a refuge for the oppressed in times of trouble, verse 9. You know what Daniel's 70th week is called? It's called the time of Jacob's trouble. Do you know who Jacob is? Jacob's name was changed to Israel. It's the time of Israel's trouble. It's Daniel's 70th week. It's the 70th week of Daniel. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, upon Jerusalem. 70 weeks of years, 490 years. 483 of those years can be traced back in the past before Christ. And then 7 years remain. That's what Daniel's 70th week is. That's what the tribulation is, the time yet to come. That's what it's referring to, is that 70th week, that 1 week of 7 years yet to come. I wrote down Revelation 14:9 about the third angel pronouncing the third woe upon earth's inhabitants. That's what it's prophesying right here. He's going to minister judgment to the people. He shall judge the world in righteousness. He doesn't judge the world in righteousness right now. Thank God He doesn't. This country would have been gone many years ago if we reaped what we sowed. Some people say the only reason that we're still here is because of our support for the nation of Israel. I don't know completely all the ramifications of that, but I do know that He says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I do know when this president that we just had moved the capital to Jerusalem, every other president promised to do that. He did it. Oh, if you do that, all hell's going to break loose. It's just rancor. They just want to scare anybody from doing anything that they promised that they would do. Another passage, well, I wrote down Revelation 14, 9, you know, through 10, talking about the cup of his indignation. And then I wrote down Revelation 16, 17 through 21. And again, what is that? That's the seventh angel pouring out the seventh vial upon earth's inhabitants. God's going to judge this earth. You have to realize this. The reason that it seems like God isn't doing anything is because God has a plan, and his plan is in his book, and he's going to go by his plan no matter what you or I think about it. That's what he's going to do. He doesn't care about what you think. He didn't care about Washington. Oh, well, if God was real, why does he let people suffer? Why does he let this happen? Why does he let that happen? Well, wait a minute. You don't even believe in God. Why are you questioning why those things happen? You're going to kick God out and then blame God for everything that goes wrong? You don't kick God out of the schools and kick the Bible out of the schools and then wonder why the schools are such a mess. Well, yeah, you do if you're just a hypocrite. Yeah, you do if you've got no sense whatsoever. How do you get a PhD today? You got to believe in evolution. How do you believe in evolution? You believe that we came from a rock. A rock. The Big Bang. That's what they believe. And then furthermore, they believe that we came from a monkey. And why do they believe that? Because they look at the circulatory system in a monkey and they say, well, we got to come from, we have to all be related. No, we got the same creator. Oh, well, look at the strata. You see this strata here? How do you know how old that strata is? Just ask him. So, how do you know how old that strata is? Well, look at the piece of wood, and we've carbon dated 14. Carbon 14 dated, and we determined that piece of wood is 2 million years old. Well, how do you know that piece of wood's 2 million years old? Well, it's because of the strata that it's in. Well, how did you date the strata? Because of the wood that's in it. You see what I'm doing? It's circular reasoning. And you think I'm kidding? Just find out. How do you get from the Cro-Magnon man to the next one, to the next one, to the next one? Well, you got transitions, right? How come they can't find one transitional element? How come you can't find a man with a tail? Oh, he lost it when he was, when he was this ape back there. You know, they believe that the amoeba started the whole thing. We all came from an amoeba that came from a one-celled creature that came from billions and billions. You know why they keep moving these dates? Because they realize that as soon as they put a date on it, God says, oh, by the way, what about this? And they go, oh, yeah, our numbers don't work anymore. Do you know how many times you listen to the scientists and they go, well, we were wrong about the dating. We were off by 3 billion years. You know why they can't figure anything out? Just look at the Grand Canyon. How does the Grand Canyon get developed? And this isn't in any of my notes. Whatever. How does it get developed? Well, if you've got a little stream going through there, it's going to take billions of years for that little stream to wash away the sides. Or maybe it's just a good river. Let's say it's the Mississippi River. That thing's going through and it's just washing the sides out. But boy, we just figured it out. We realized, listen, at that rate, with as big a wash as you'd get, it'd still take billions of years. Therefore, it's got to be billions of years. What about one flood that covered the whole earth for 40 days and 40 nights it rained? Can you imagine the amount of, when the heavens are open and the water that's not even in our circulatory system comes down to earth and washes all of that out? How do you account for that? You don't. You just say it's got to be billions of years because it couldn't have happened in one rain from one God destroying all of humanity except for 8 people. Because then you are accountable. The whole thing is accountability. The nations that forget God, they do not want to be accountable. If you are accountable to God, then if abortion is the killing of a child, a baby in the womb, you are a murderer. They're not going to accept that. They want to accept no accountability to God. The nations that forget God are going to be turned into hell. What is going on in America today? America is being destroyed from within because it cannot be destroyed from without, except if somehow there's a virus released from without that comes within, and then we've got a government that says, hey, you're not doing enough. You're killing thousands and hundreds of thousands of people. And by the way, you remember the original estimates, 2.2 million people were going to die in America. 500,000 were going to die in Great Britain. Those were the original estimates of what was going to happen. Wait till you find out how many people have died from heart attacks and cancer. Those numbers will not be existing because all of it's COVID. Why is it COVID? Because it's politically the way it needs to be to control the people. And that's what we've got. The nations that forget God. We've forgotten God. What I'm telling you is you don't have to be Laodicean. You don't have to be one of the ones that forget God. You and I need to be an anomaly. The anomaly needs to be the church. The church stands up and says, I don't care what you say. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to love Jesus. And it's B.C. and it's not B.C.E. It's A.D. in the year of our Lord. That's what it is. Back to Psalm 9, verse 10. I hadn't even gotten to the one where they forgot God in verse 17, but I started there. Look at verse 10. And they that know thy name, I wrote my book that I gave you at Christmas was all about knowing God. In the Old Testament, if you knew God, I believe that was an indication that you were saved. Today, we know that if you know God, you're saved. Not just know Him, but know Him. I don't mean know Him intellectually. I mean you know Him. He is your Savior, and you know that you know. The Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You ought to know that you know that you know that you have eternal life. It's a know-so salvation. He says, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. It's expressed to the Lord. It's an expectation. They that know thy name will put thy trust in thee. Verse 10, it's an experience. Thou hast not forsaken them that seek thee. It's expressed among the people, the expectation. Sing praises to the Lord. Declare among the people his doings. The experience he remembereth, he forgetteth not. Aren't you glad that God is never going to forget you? He's never going to forget you. He knows your name if you're saved. He calls you by name, the Bible says. Praise God, He does. I don't want a God that doesn't know who I am. I don't want a, and there is no God like that that's the God Almighty. He knows your name. He says, my sheep know me and I call them by name and they know my voice. Listen, I can tell you this. I have had instances where I thought something and it wasn't God. Because something was wrong with it. It was maybe spiritual, but it wasn't a peaceful thing. And as you mature in Christ, you learn to discern between those things that are God because you know Him, and those things are not because it doesn't sound true that it's God. Psalm 9:13, the invocation to right judgment. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble, which I suffer of them that hate me. That thou that liftest up me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion, I'll rejoice in thy salvation. It's a personal appeal. The request is twofold. Have mercy. Consider my trouble. The desire that I may show forth all thy praise. You know, Paul wrote in Philippians 1:23, he says, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." Paul wrote, he says, look, I'd like nothing more than to depart and to be with Christ, because there's a possibility. Paul was the one that, in I think Romans 12, he had gone into heaven, seen unspeakable things, things that he wasn't allowed to repeat. Can you imagine him seeing that and then him saying what he said right here? It is more needful for me to stay. Why would you want to stay on this earth unless you're impacting people for the glory of God? There are so many Christians that do not impact the world for Jesus Christ. What a waste. What a waste. Look at Psalm 9:15. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. Notice, they made it, they're in it. In the net which they hid, notice, they hid it and they're in it. Is their own foot taken? The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Hagion, Selah. So they're self-inflicted wounds upon the wicked. They're sunk down in the pit that they made. Their feet are taken in the net they laid. He is snared in the work of his own hands. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. Sometimes you think the wicked are getting away with all their wickedness. I promise you, they are not. Nobody gets away with digging pits, casting nets, setting snares. Nobody. I have always seen God triumph sooner or later. Now, you can't glory in that triumph if you're benefiting from the judgment upon somebody else. He tells you not to do that. He warns you that if you do that, he will turn his wrath away from those to whom he should be judging. You know why God can't judge people on this earth? It's because Christians don't handle it in the right fashion. We're like, get them, God. Let them have it, God. Give them their due, God. Oh, God, don't give me my due. Oh, I'm not as bad as they are. It doesn't matter. It's not how bad you are, it's how hypocritical we are. Hagion, you see that word there? It means stop and think upon the things being said, meditate upon them. Meditate upon them. Say, why don't we just change the Bible? You don't need to change the Bible, you just need to learn what it says. The reason that, you know, that you don't change is because it has variations in meanings. It has depths of meaning that you can't understand. Listen, Hagion, what does it mean? Stop and think upon the things being said. Meditate upon them. Don't just change it to meditate. It means stop. Oh, change it to stop, meditate. Well, it means stop and think upon them. And meditate upon them. So you got to take one word and change it into 17 different words. 17 words. You don't need to do that. Just learn what the Bible means and leave it say what it says. Look at verse 17 now. I think I went there already. Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. For the wicked... Verse 17, the wicked will be turned into hell. All the nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. I mentioned to you Washington, D.C. I want you to listen to this verse from America the Beautiful. How beautiful for patriot dream that sees beyond the years. Thine alabaster cities gleam undimmed by human tears. You think? You think the cities today are undimmed by human tears? The cities have become so rife with corruption. They're a cesspool of iniquity. Liberal politicians and policies have decimated the families and welfare so much in the cities that we can't even handle it financially in this country. Should we take care of the poor? Sure. But if a man will not work, neither should he eat. Amen. That's what the Bible says. You come up to me and you say, hey, I want you to give, give, give. I say, yeah, okay, I've got something for you to cut. It's called grass. Do you want to do it? I told you about the guy that came in and asked for money, cut our grass. Man, did we take care of him. We showered him with money, so much money he didn't have to come back. Why? Because we were so shocked that somebody actually kept their word. I've been to places I will work for food, and you walk out and say, hey, let me get you a meal. No, I'm not hungry. Why isn't he hungry? Because somebody else already bought him a meal and another meal and another meal. Because other people are looking at it saying, hey, I'll buy you a meal, but I'm not going to give you money. Because you are responsible for what he does with that money. It doesn't mean you can never give money. You just have to be careful. Somebody says, hey, I got to pay my power bill. All right, what's the number on the power bill? Well, you know, just give me the money. Not the way it works. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. This goes for today. It goes for this administration. It goes for everybody in government, whether it's on this federal, state, local level. And by the way, you ought to be praying for our local politicians because they affect you more than you know. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, what do? Supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. Everybody. But then he goes on, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. You've got to know God. But he says, pray for all those in authority. Are you praying for those in authority? You say, they didn't get there right. They got there by hook and crook. I'm not going to pray for them. They're in authority no matter how anybody gets there. And by the way, it isn't whether they stole the election the way that it said. We know this. First Amendment right of freedom of speech was squelched on most social media platforms. And they fact-checked everything except for those things that needed to be fact-checked. I mean, if anybody would have heard Biden say that an 8-year-old ought to have the ability to tell you that she's now a boy, the fact-checkers should have checked that and said, it is physically impossible for that to happen. And it's abuse for that parent, that school, that presidential candidate to say that it can happen. Where were the fact checkers for that? I put out a thing the other day. You know, there's to tell if you have a headache that's COVID. It had five things because I had headaches for 4 weeks when I had COVID. The five things, and the fifth one was, if you're a biological male. I thought, well, my goodness, isn't that discriminatory? Why would you have to be a biological male? Can't you be one that was a woman that changed into a male? Wouldn't they be more susceptible just like the real male? No, because biology matters. Biology matters. And they have to define it as a biological male. Why can't they just say, if you're male? By the way, if you're born that way, you are what you are. I don't care if you have surgery after surgery after surgery, you do not become the opposite sex. And there are people that are going to say, oh, you're phobic of some kind. I don't know what the phobic is yet. I understand there's a homophobic thing and there's this phobic. I don't know what I'm trying to think, and if I just blurt something out, I might get in trouble, so I better be careful. You're transphobic. Yeah, I just got it at the same time. Somebody else said it. Transphobic. they're right. I hate 14-hour flights across the Atlantic. I'm transphobic for sure. I hate going to California. We took the red eye back 1 year trying to save some money from California. I preached and we got done. I said, honey, what we're going to do is we're going to fly out on the red eye. We're going to save a hotel room tonight. So we stayed up all, and we're going to sleep really good because we're going to be so tired on that red eye. So we go and we stay up and we see the sights and we get on that plane at whatever night, hour of night. Man, we didn't sleep a wink and we were a zombie for 24 hours after that. Yeah, I am transphobic. I got to tell you that. Let them define what that means. Look at Romans 13. Let me show you something because I don't think a lot of people understand this verse on obeying the government. Obeying the government is very specific in Romans 13, verse 1. Look at how it starts out. If you only quote the first verse, you get in trouble. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And some people say, well, look, every power that exists is ordained of God. That's not what it's saying, because the context is given later. Verse 2. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are what? Here's the context. Are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Now what happens whenever the rulers are not a terror to the evil, but to the good? They cease to be ordained of God. Rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have the praise of the same. Now let me ask you something. Does our government praise those that are doing good and doing right? Then they're not here. Oh, just go ahead and quote to me. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God, the powers that are ordained of God. Well, wait a minute. Are there powers that are not ordained of God? Are you telling me that if you were in Germany during Hitler's reign and the Nazis and everything else, you're to be subject unto those powers? If you're over there in communist Russia, communist China, wherever you might name, you're telling me that you've got to be subject to those powers because, oh, they're ordained of God? Oh, no, you would never say that. What about America when it goes contrary to God? We are. Now, I'm not telling you, and this isn't a political message, by the way. I'm just reading the Bible. People say, oh, you shouldn't get into politics. That's our problem. We think that there's a secular and a spiritual. There's not a secular and a spiritual. You know what we have today? We have people that are saying that the church ought to stay completely free of politics and stay out of government so that the government can do whatever it wants to do, and it has done whatever it's done. And if we'd have spoken up in 1962, the Bible would have stayed in there, and that woman wouldn't have gotten her way. Verse 4. Here's how he's described. Context. For he is the minister of God to thee for what? Come on, that's what it is. Those in government are to be the minister of thee to God, minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. That's why you believe in capital punishment, except for today. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Now watch, I said capital punishment that I'm all for, but I'm not. You know why I'm not for capital punishment in most cases anymore? Because you can't trust those that are being judge, jury, and executioner and fabricating the evidence because they know the guy's guilty. So yeah, I'm for capital punishment according to the Bible, according to godly people being in control, according to judges that are spiritual, judges that are going to judge according to the truth, according to police officers that are doing right and not saying, hey, we got to fabricate this stuff because we know he's guilty. We know he did it. We know he raped that girl, raped that woman, raped whatever it is, and we're going to set it all up. And then what do? They overturn it because they find out that the DNA didn't work anymore. And I got to get a conviction, because if I don't get a conviction, the DA is you know, everybody's pushing for a conviction to solve the case and close the case. Everybody wants to be the hero. It's all about pride. So think about it. Am I for capital punishment? Yes. Am I for capital punishment? No. That's the dilemma we're in. Capital punishment is biblical. Scriptural. The problem is man. Our system only works with a godly people. If you've got people falsifying evidence, our system crumbles. If you have a judge that has no more sense than a bird in a cage, whatever that means, no more sense than a three-year-old, then you don't have a good system of capital punishment. Say, why does it take 10 years? And that's a mess. It takes 10 years because that's the way the system's set up, because they don't want to make a mistake, and because lawyers need to make a lot of money. Drag it out, drag it out, drag it out. Look at this. He's the minister of God to thee for good. Verse 5, wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. What happens if your government decides that abortion should be funded? That's not paying tribute to God, for God's ministers. They cease to be God's ministers. Now, I'm not telling you don't pay taxes. In fact, I'm telling you that you have a better chance of witnessing for Christ out here than in there. Listen, I had people approach me 46. I don't know how. It was long. 1984, I had people approach me about, you know, hey, the government has no right. The income tax is unconstitutional. And man, I watched that and I watched it. And then I had one of them arrested because he didn't have a license, wouldn't tell his name, went to court. And I told you this, went to court. And here I am, a young Bible college student. These guys are in their senior year. I'm a freshman. And I go there and I watch him, and he says, sir, we don't recognize, another one was speaking for him, we don't recognize this court as having jurisdiction. I said, all right, 3 days in jail if you don't tell me your name. And they looked at each other, and he says, if he tells you his name, is he going to have to go to jail? No. He says, well, his name is, and he told his name. I went, mm-mm, I'm done with that. I'm done with that, man. If that's all it takes is a little pressure. And listen, if you go to jail for 3 days, when you come out, he's going to say three more, three more, three more. Sooner or later, you're going to tell him your name. The Constitution is a piece of paper. One of the greatest pieces of paper ever written. But the problem is, if you don't have a godly government, the Constitution is just a piece of paper. Constitution means nothing. First Amendment, the Bill of Rights, none of that means anything to a government that's out of control. So don't think you're going to be able to say, well, I want to call my lawyer. I'm sorry, we got the Patriot Act. You can't call your lawyer. Do you know they can do that? I could go through habeas corpus. I could go through all the stuff they got and all the rights you have. You have no rights if they don't recognize your rights. So be careful what you say. Be careful saying, well, I'm a constitutionalist. Listen, I'm all for the Constitution, but only for a godly people that are going to enforce the Constitution. Once the government decides they're not going to enforce the Constitution means nothing. And that's where we are today. All the nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. Verse 19. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men, Selah. The request, arise. Let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. The desire is that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Boy, I wish they knew that today. Some of them are acting like they themselves are gods. There are no gods but one God, and you are to serve that one God. The nations, they're but men. All the nations that forget God are going to be turned into hell. Turn to Romans 14. I'll show you one in Romans and one in Philippians, and we'll be done for tonight. Romans 14, 11. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Romans 14, 12. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. You're going to give an account of yourself to God. It does not matter what you think. The Bible says, because of the judgment seat of Christ, we persuade men, knowing the terror of the Lord. I understand the terror of the Lord. I understand it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. I understand we have a merciful, gracious, long-suffering God, but all the nations that forget God will be turned into hell. That's what he says. What is America's future? I can't tell you that. All I can tell you is it doesn't look very bright. What happens whenever they stop printing money? What happens if they keep printing money? The same. It's a balloon. It's being blown up. More money printed. You know who owns this country is the Federal Reserve. You do know the Federal Reserve is not a federal organization. It's a corporation owned by the richest people in the world. Do you know who we owe our debt to? The Federal Reserve. They print the money and collect the interest on the money that they print. And they make more money the more money they print. And by the way, you know who gets destroyed in the whole thing? The poor are given the money. The rich stay rich because they got enough. And the middle class gets squeezed out. You got to destroy the middle class to control a country. All the nations that forget God. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's the ultimate end right there. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess. So is this a negative message tonight? I hope not. I hope you understand, really, it's not. Here's the thing. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Make you free, not set you free. Set you free means you have no restraints. Make you free is an act of God. I'm free. Why? I know the truth. You can't put me under bondage. I don't care who Caesar is. He can't put me under bondage. You say he could lock you up. I'm still free. Long as I'm free in heart and mind and soul, I'm free. I have Jesus Christ. If he locks me up, I take Jesus with me. If I do, I got a ministry in jail, a jail ministry, and I'll tell you what, those prison guards, they better be ready. You say, well, they'll beat you. Well, maybe so. Maybe I'll quit because I'll get beat. I don't know. I can't tell you one way or another. I've been in there and I've heard those doors shut, and I don't care that I know I'm going back out. When I hear that clanging going on, man, it is rough to take. And I've never been in there where I was on the other side and knew I wasn't coming out. But I've been in there 50, 100, 200 times. Heard that clanging, and you never get used to it. You never get used to it. I'm free. You're free if you know the truth. I don't want to be an ostrich. I don't want to bury my head in the sand and say, no, 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 don't confuse me with facts. Don't confuse me with the truth. Don't tell me those things because it's so negative. Let me tell you what negativity is. Negativity is lying to you and telling you everything's okay, everything will be all right. And by the way, everything's going to be all right. In this way. Not everything's going to be all right because I'm lying to you. Everything's going to be all right because we know the end of the story. Jesus is coming back. we're leaving with Him. And even if we're here, listen, we're going to go through tribulation, but not the tribulation. We're going to go through suffering and trials and all that. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse because the Bible says men shall wax worse and worse. The point is, if you have the truth, you can stand on the truth. We have to do that. We can't say, I don't know. We'll stand together. Lord, we do thank You for Your many blessings. Pray, Lord, that You would guide, lead, and direct in the invitation time. Lord, help us to truly submit to Thee. Nothing more important than service to Thee. In Jesus' name and for His sake. With your head bowed and eyes closed, the music plays. God's spoken to you in some way. The altar is open. You need to consider what you need to pray for. Pray for all those in authority that you may lead a quiet and peaceful life. Pray for the peace in Jerusalem.